The Parshas Hamoados appears in the Chumash three times. You have Parshas Amor, and Parshas Pinchas, and Parshas Re'eh. In Amor, you have basically the Issa Melacha, and who details Parshas Pinchas is the Musafim, and then Parshas Re'eh has Aliyah LeRegel and some more details. So in Parshas Amor, the Torah says in connection with Pesach, that on the first day, Chol Hamoed Pesach, you bring a Mincha Sa'omer, in addition to the Musafim. You bring a Mincha Sa'omer, the Mincha, it's flour. And then the Pasuk says, until you bring the Mincha Sa'omer, V'lechi V'kola V'kama L'Sochlo, Ad Etzem Hayom Hazeh, Ad HaBiyachem Asayim HaTnufa. You're not permitted to eat the newly planted grain. The Gemara learns that from a whole series of psukim, that it only applies to the Chameshes Minei Dagon. We usually assume that it's wheat, barley, oats, rice, spelt. It's a question about some of them, whether it's the correct identification or not. But that's called Chameshes Mini Dogon. And how do we establish that? Because it says, Lechem Mikol Karmel. And Lechem, you have to eat matzah on Pesach night. That's called Lechem Oni. And it's only called matzah, but it's Bolei Dechametz. It's not Bolei Dechametz, not. So the Chachamim established that only these five kinds of grain, if you mix the grain with water, you let it sit long enough, it'll be bolei dechametz. If you mix other things, let's say cornstarch, and you mix other things, and you make cookies or cakes out of cornstarch, that's a different kind of a chemical reaction. The Gemara said the Tanoim analyzed it, and they called that sircha. And these five, these are called chimutz. It's a difference between chimutz and sircha. So the Pasuk says, you're not permitted to eat any tvuach hadosha, any grain that was planted in the course of the year, you're not allowed to eat it until it comes hakrabas minchas ha'omer of next Pesach. What do you do bizman hazeh? There's no minchas ha'omer. So the pasuk says two different things that seem to be contradictory. Lech v'kolei v'kama l'asochlu. Lech means it's baked into bread. Kolei means toasted, toasted kernels of grain. And karmel means not toasted, just the kernels itself. Kar means mole, when the kernels of grain are fully ripened, you like to eat it without toasting it. So you're not allowed to eat chodosh until you bring ad haviyachem ad etzem hayom hazeh till the day, the first day Chol Hamoed Pesach, ad haviyachem hazeh matnufa. So it's a contradiction. Which is it? Is it when the day comes, tezayin nisan, when the day comes, it's mutter to eat the chodosh, or when you makriv the minchas oimer? So the Gemara said, "Bizman shabis amig nushayekaim." Once they're makriv the minchas oimer, it's mutter to eat chodesh, even if they're makriv minchas oimer early in the morning. The Mishnah says it never happened. The Bez Nagodol is located there in the Beis Hamikdash. They meet in the Mishkas Hagodes. It never happened that they would be so late, so lazy that the Kohanim wouldn't bring the minchas oimer before Chatzos. So all over in the world, they didn't have emails, they didn't have TV or radios. So how do you know whether they brought the Minchas Ha'omer? So you have the right to assume that they certainly brought the Minchas Ha'omer by Chatzos, by noon. They brought it way before, but by Chatzos for sure. The Gemara in Erevin has a whole discussion. If I ask someone to make an Eruvei Truman for me, and he doesn't call me up to tell me that he did it, do I have the right to assume Chazok HaShaliachos HaShlichusai? Chazalka means a ruba deleisa kamon. They're probably a nice religious man. He probably took care of it. Or do you have to be concerned that maybe he didn't do it? So the Gemara comes to the maskana that if it's a real din deraisa that you're discussing, then you shouldn't rely on chazalka shlichus or shlichus. But if it's only a din derabana, then you can rely on chazalka shlichus or shlichus. That's the shah, the essential achmanis. So if the other person calls you up and thanks you for the elaborate shalach manis, so you know that it was delivered. If he doesn't call you up, how do you know that it was delivered? Especially if you send little kids before bar mitzvah. So maybe they kept all the candy and the cake for themselves. Maybe they never delivered. Or you ask the rabbi, to sell a chametz for you. Well, your rabbi Matz says it didn't arise. So you ask the rabbi to sell a chametz. How do you know that he sold the chametz? So you're going to have, Shul has 500 families. All the 500 families are going to call the rabbi in Erev Pesach. They ask him, did you sell a chametz? They want to know about your rabbi Matz. Is it a real din derais? The Chaim Moses points out in the Tshuva, he says, the Gemara says, if it's an extremely reliable shliach, like the Kohanim and the Beis HaMikdosh, they're very reliable. Kohanim's reason hain. So Rashi says, what do you mean Kohanim? Kohanim at the Beis HaMikdash has reason because the Bez Nagodol is on their tail. You're going to see to it that the Makrib the Karbonis correctly. That Kohanim all over the world does reason. In the Beis HaMikdash, there's reason because the Bez Nagodol is going to see to it that it's taken care of. But so Rab Chaim Moses says that's why there was an old minig. When you ask the rabbi to sell a chametz for you, so you give him a few dollars. What do you give him a few dollars? That's part of his job, his salary. The answer is, we make it more serious now. If he doesn't sell a chametz, he has to give back the money. So the rabbi is going to make sure that he does sell a chametz. So he's a rabbi. It's not the same as Bez Nagodol on the tail of the Kohanim and the Beis HaMikdash, but he's a rabbi, more reliable than most. And it's a serious issue, and he's going to have to give back all the money. So that's why, so if it's a very serious issue, we're a very responsible person. Yosum chazok shlichus shlichus. And if it's a din deraisa and the person is not that serious, so then there's a chumah midrabbanan not to rely. That's what Tosfos writes there. There's a chumah midrabbanan not to rely on the chazok shlichus shlichus with respect to a din deraisa. Anyway, so the Mishnah says when it comes chatzos, everyone can eat the chadosh because we assume bisman hamigdash because we assume the Kohanim certainly brought the minchas omer in the morning. The Rambam writes there, that's a Mishnah in Menachos. The Rambam writes there in the Pirush HaMishnah is Chatzos Yerushalayim time. If you live in Manchuria, if you live in Cambodia, so Chatzos over there is not yet Chatzos in Yerushalayim. I have to wait. And if you live in America, Chatzos is 7 hours. Chatzos Yerushalayim, 7 hours earlier. The Rambam says there are time zones. So the Mishnah says it depends on Chatzos and Yerushalayim. By the time it comes Chatzos, for sure the Bez Nagodol thought to it that the Kohanim brought the Mincha Soima. So Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash HaYikayim. So the Mincha HaKrovos HaMincha is Mat. Bizman Shein Beis HaMikdash Kayim. Still a din of Chodesh. So the Mat of the Chodesh is Aretzem HaYayim HaZeh. Yitzuma Shel Yom. Yitzuma Shel Yom means the daytime part of the day as opposed to the night before. Night before is not yet called Yitzuma Shel Yom. And how do you translate the word ad? Do you say ad v'ad bechlal? Ad v'loy ad bechlal. What do you mean? Ad etzem ayam az until it comes the morning of Tezayin Nissen, or till it comes the night following Tezayin. Ad v'ad bechlal till the end of the day. So that's a Mishnah in Menachos. The Mishnah, the Gemara explains the whole background. Rabbi Yechman Zakkai, Gemara says, lived till 120. So the first 40 years of his life, he made $1 million and then he retired. And then at the age of 40, he sat down to learn. Very strange story. He learned till the age of 80. Then at the age of 80, he was the most prominent Talmid Chacham. At the age of 80, they appointed him the chief rabbi of the Sanhedrin. And then he was the chief rabbi. His presidency was for 40 years, till the age from 80 till 120. So during the time that he was the head of the Sanhedrin, he with the Sanhedrin made 9 takanas. So many of the 9 takanas were after the Churban HaBayis. He was the chief rabbi before, during, and after Churban HaBayis, and he negotiated with Vespasian. The Gemara tells the whole story that he snuck out of Yerushalayim because his nephew was the head of the Jewish mobster gang, and they weren't letting him. They didn't want to surrender to the Romans. They didn't want to surrender. Rabbanim said, "We lost the war already. Surrender. What are you going to gain by losing every person's life?" Like a Masada, they tell you that. They felt you're not allowed to surrender. And they fought till every person lost their life. And it was against the Chacham. And the Chacham said, there is no such thing. If he saw you lost the war, so surrender already. So they won't kill more people. So Rabbi Yechman Zakkai snuck out of the city. The Gemara tells the whole story. I may believe he was dead. So he was the chief rabbi. So some of the takanas he made had to do with the fact that there's no longer based on Migdash. He made takanas Echel Migdash. So one of the 9 takanas was that Yom Tenuf HaSoim, Yom Henef, the day of Tenuf HaSoim, the first day Chalamay Pesach, you're not allowed to eat Chodesh all day long. Why is that a takana de Rabbanon? So the Gemara says, Aretzem Ayam Azeh Bizman HaMikdosh, so HaKrovos HaMincha HaSoim is Mater. After the Churban HaBayis, Aretzem Ayam Azeh till the morning. It should be, when it comes the morning, Etzem Zayin should be Mutter. And he made a chumer that you have to wait till the end of the day. He made a chumer with Rabbi Gemara gives the whole reason why. Maybe Lo Sid Lo, the Beis HaMikdash will be built the last minute and people will think they're allowed to eat Chodesh from Heir HaMizrach. And once the Beis HaMikdash is built, you have to wait till they actually bring him in Chasaimer. Maybe they'll be so tumult because of the building of the Beis HaMikdash on Chalamay Pesach How can you build a Beis HaMikdash on Tam? Yontif, the Masha, Yontif, you're going to build a Beis HaMikdash. All strange story in Iman. So he made a chum, and he shouldn't eat Chodesh all day long. So then the Gemara says, truth of the matter is that it's a din deraisa, it's not a din derabban. Because we say, ad v'ad b'chlal, ad etzem ayam hazeh, until the end of the daytime, part of the day, till the end of Tezayin. So why is it called takana? Takana usually means takana derabbanan. So Gemara says, no. Eight of the takanas were takanas derabbanan, and the ninth one about tenufa, about the minchas ha'imer, that's dorash v'hiskin. Takana means that he publicized the din deraisa. It wasn't well known after the Churban HaBayis. So he publicized the din that you have to wait till the end of the day, but it's really a din deraisa. There's a Tosfos in HaShaleach in Gittin where Tosfos learns that the whole institution of Prusbul is really a din deraisa. It says Hillel made a takana of Prusbul, so Tosfos says Dorash Vehiskin, just publicized the din. But Prusbul is really a din deraisa. That's not the generally accepted opinion. It's assumed, everybody assumes that Prusbul is only the Rabbana. Moses Terosa, the Bezin, that's a Machlokes, Rashi and Tosfos, and Makkos, and other places, whether that's a din deraisa, but the Prusbul is only the Rabbana. But there's such a miri also, the Gemara says, that one of the ten takanas of Ezra, Gemara says in the end of Perek Merubah, I think in later on Bava Kamma, the Gemara says that Yeshua ben Nun made ten takanas. And then Ezra made ten takanas. Yeshua ben Nun made ten takanas, and Ezra made ten takanas. So the one of the ten takanas of Ezra, that a Balkari is not allowed to learn. So the Rishonim are bothered with Akasha. So in a later generation, the Gemara says in Brochus, later generation, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira abolished the Takana of Ezra. So Tosfos and all the Rishonim ask, in order to have the right to abolish the Takana that was made in an earlier generation, the later Bezna has to be greater b'chokhma v'minyan, has to have a greater number of Rabbanim, and a greater in scholarship. So did Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira think that he was stronger in learning than Ezra? That he had a right to undo his takana? Very strange. So they give different answers. So the Meiri in Brochus has this suggestion that just like the Gemara says that this takana, Rabbi Yechem ben Zakkai, the Yom Tenufa Sa'imi, you're not allowed to eat Chodesh the whole day, it's not a din, it's not a takana de Rabban, it's Dorash Vehiskin. So too, when Ezra made the takana that a Balkari is not allowed to learn, that's a din deraisa. You learn enough from Maimon HaSinai that whoever was a Balkari had to go to mikveh before, the married people had to go to mikveh before Maimon HaSinai, because a Balkari is not allowed to learn Torah. And he darshaned it from the psukim in the Chumash. And whenever you darshan a din deraisa, the later Bezna has a right to disagree. You don't have to be greater b'chokhmah v'minyan. The Rambam quotes that, Tosfos quotes that, that's a Yerushalmi, the beginning of Masechet Shviyos. Shalmi asks, if the Talmidei B'Shamei B'Silul instituted a din derabbanan of Tosefa Shviyos, you have to be Moisid Mechol HaKodesh. So before Shemitah enters, you have to already add another couple of weeks not to do Melech HaZakarka in Eretz Yisrael. So how can Rabbi Gamliel, who lived after the Churban, how can he reverse that takana made by the Talmidei B'Shamei B'Silul? He wasn't as great as them. So the Rishalmi answers, it wasn't a takana. That's the way they read the pasuk. They felt that it's a din deraisa. When it comes to a din deraisa, ain l'chal l'shofet shabiyamecha. You don't have to be greater b'chachma v'min. To repeal a rabbinic enactment, the later bezna has to be gadol b'chachma v'min. But if you're talking about darshani psukim, if a person is entitled to an opinion, not everyone is entitled to an opinion. A person is entitled to an opinion. He's entitled to disagree with even a person who is much greater than him. Now Moshe Feinstein a lot of times has tshubas, and he says it's against the Chasam Seif, and he's disagreeing with the Nadiv Yehuda, and disagreeing with the Shach, and with the Vilna Gaon. He disagrees with a lot of posters. So there was a certain rabbi here in the New York area put out a whole book attacking Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe's farm are called Igros Moshe. So this rabbi published a book, Man El Igros, the response to the Igros Moshe. And he attacks Rav Moshe, and he says, such an arrogant person, Rav Moshe Feinstein, he thinks that it's greater than Nadiv Yehuda and greater than the Chasam Seif, and so on. The people who remember, I remember Moshe Feinstein, extremely humble. Unusually humble. He didn't have any arrogance at all. So Moshe was so hurt when he saw the book. What happened was, this other rabbi who attacked him, he went to the same publisher, the same typesetter. and his book looks like the Igros Moshe Teder, two columns and so on. So when the typesetter was typing, was setting the type, he was shaking because he has such ferocious attacks, such vicious attacks against Rav Moshe. He wipes the floors with him. So he was a little troubled. So he called Rav Moshe Feinstein on the phone. And he says, is it okay if he sets the type? Someone wants to print the book, disagreeing with Rav Moshe's truth. So Rav Moshe said, of course, everyone has a right. This guy, he didn't tell him how vicious it was. Didn't tell him that he called him all kinds of dirty names. So then when the book was printed, Rav Moshe saw, well, he was so hurt. So he didn't print the rest of the Igros Moshe by that person. Then he printed, he went to someone else. He went to a different printer. And then the Agudas Rabbanim put a cherem. No one's allowed to, there's forum stores on the east, no one's allowed to sell the book. So the guy sent out the book in the mail to all the rabbis. So some of them paid for the book, some of them didn't pay for the book. He was a character. Anyway, so Rav Moshe Feinstein writes, I don't know if I'm entitled to an opinion on anything, but people keep on pressuring me. They want to know my opinion. Rabbanim are pressuring me. They want to hear my opinion. So if I'm entitled to an opinion, I have to say my honest-to-goodness opinion, even if it's a disagreement with the Shach, with the Nerev Yehuda, with the Vilna Gaon, and with the Chassam Sofer. I don't think that I'm greater than them. I believe he was extremely humble. So that's the story of the Chodosh Bizman Hazeh. Yeah. The Pasuk in Parshas Amor says, Lechet kolokan l'socha retzam ha'ezeh ad ha'v'yach m'zoyim ha'tnufa. And then it says the word B'chol Moshe Seichem. So Moshe Seichem usually means all over the world. You shouldn't think that this is one of the agricultural mitzvahs, a mitzvah kli ba'oretz. So it only applies in Eretz Yisrael. So it says B'chol Moshe Seichem, all over the world. Like it says in last week's Sedrim, boy, B'chol Moshe Seichem tochel matzahs. That there are two parts to the mitzvah of matzah. One part is, the Gemara says, in Pesach Mitzvah Sheva the Pischo, it enhances the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. When you eat Korban Pesach together with a matzah samram, yochluhu, you eat the Korban Pesach with the matzah and the mar, it's Hechsheva the Pischo, you yoitza the Korban Pesach even without matzah and mar. But it's more Bishlei Musa, the mitzvah is more Bishlei Musa with the matzah and the mar. Then there's another Pesach, B'chol Mashiach Sechem Tolma, all over the world. Even if there's no Beis HaMikdash, I feel it is Mancha, ain't Beis HaMikdash Kayim. That's a machlokes in the Gemara where the matzah bizman says the raisa of the Rabban. Maybe it's only the raisa bizman on Mikdash. So we pass on like the other opinion that is the raisa even bizman is there, because it says b'chol mashu sechem all over the world. So here also it says by chodesh b'chol mashu sechem. You're not allowed to eat chodesh. So the pashta, and that's a machlokes satanoim here in Kiddushin, daf lamed zayin on the base. Machlokes satanoim, is that what it means b'chol mashu sechem? Chodesh b'chutz l'aretz is also in our Torah. Or maybe no. Maybe Chodesh is one of the agricultural mitzvahs, and just like Trumas and Mice and Shemitah V'yovan Lekit Shikrepeya and all the other mitzvahs are placed where it's all the agricultural mitzvahs only apply in Eretz Yisrael, so maybe Chodesh also only applies in Eretz Yisrael, but it's forbidden in Chutz L'Aretz. The Mishnah says Chodesh B'Chutz L'Aretz is also. All the Tanaim agree it's also. Maybe it's only Midrabbanon. I, what do you do with the word B'chol Moshe Seichem? So the Gemara says, no, it means to say, after Yerusha v'Yeshiva and Eretz Yisrael, the first 14 years in Eretz Yisrael, the mitzvah of Trumas HaMaisis didn't begin to be obligatory. The Pasuk says in Sefer Yeshua, it took 7 years to conquer all of Eretz Yisrael. The Jewish army that was led by Yeshua ben Nun took 7 years to conquer. And then the Gemara has a tradition, an oral historical tradition, that it took another 7 years to divide Eretz Yisrael. There was Sheva Shekovshu, Sheva Shechilku, 7 years to conquer Eretz Yisrael, and 7 years to divide Eretz Yisrael among the Shvatim, then among the Mishpachas, then among the Yechidim. And until the 15th year, they weren't mechuyev to observe Trumas and Maisis and Shemitah V'Yovel. The first Shemitah was year 21, because first 14 years didn't count. First Yovel was year 64. Because the first 14 years didn't count. So the 50th year, they started counting year number 1 was year 15. So year number 64 was the Yovel, the Shnas HaChamishim Shana. So that's the question. What about Chiyuv Challah began right away? When the Vayachem El Haaretz, Chiyuv Challah began from day number 1. When they crossed over the Yarden, there was a Chiyuv to be Mafish Challah. But the other Dinim, even though Chiyuv Challah was also one of the mitzvahs of Chiyuv Haaretz, but the other dinim only began after Sheva Shekovshim, Sheva Shechukim. So this pasuk says, B'chol Moshe Seichem, So the minority opinion, the majority opinion of the Tanai means that the din of Chodesh applies ben HaTorah even in Chutz Lartz. The minority opinion in the Mishnah is that Chodesh b'Chutz Lartz is only mid the Rabbanon, it doesn't apply ben HaTorah. And that phrase, b'chol mashu secha, means in Eretz Yisrael after Yerusha v'Yeshiva. The Yisrael Chodesh only began in the 15th year. Halacha l'maisa, how do we paskin? So the Beis Yosef, Rabbi Yosef Kara, writes, he's going to follow the majority of the three major poskim that he picks up. So he picked the Rif and the Rambam and the Rosh. So the Rif and the Rambam always say the same thing. That's the Svardim, Chachmas. So he always tipped the scale. He rigged it. It's always 2-1. The Rosh represents all the Balei HaTosfos, the hundreds of Balei HaTosfos. The Rosh has a tshuva, where the Rosh writes the Balei HaTosfos. The Ri and the Rambam and Tam are greater b'chokhmah dominion than the Rambam and the Rif. Rambam and the Rif are two big Talmid Chachamim, and Balei HaTosfos were hundreds of Balei HaTosfos. So the Rosh has such a lashon in the tshuva. So Rabbi Yosef Kara wrote like that. He's going to pick the three major poskim, the Rif and the Rambam and the Rosh, and he's going to follow the majority of people. Happens over here, all three, the Rif and the Rambam and the Rosh, all three say the Chodesh B'chutz Lartz is Darais. Sure. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch assumes. And the meaning by the Ashkenazim always was that they ate Chodesh in Europe. The Miri Yeshiva, in the early 1900s, Miri Yeshiva at its peak had 400 students from 400 different cities. They only allowed one student from the city. Otherwise, they would take up most of the students after Bar Mitzvah went to work. Even those who wanted to learn, they couldn't take more than one student from the city. They wouldn't be able to have, there's not enough room in the yeshiva. So they had to go to a different yeshiva. All the yeshivas had such policy. They could only take, unless it was a big city. My father-in-law was from Pinsk, so they had two people came from Pinsk. One was Rabbi Zipperstein, who was a Rebbe here in the yeshiva for many years. Then he would go back and forth. He would be the chief rabbi of Argentina. He would go to Argentina under Juan Perón. He would come back to New York, be a Rebbe in the yeshiva, go back to Argentina every other year. He would be going back and forth. And he and my father-in-law were the two who came from Pinsk. Other big cities, they allowed two students. The other villages, they only allowed one student. So they told us, I think Rabbi Gerelich told us, that in the Miri Yeshiva at its peak, that it had around 400 students, and they were all Orthodox students. There were only two or three who were careful not to eat Chodesh. It was too difficult. It was too difficult to be Nizr and Chodesh. So the meaning always was that they ate Chodesh. It's really a problem. How do they all eat Chodesh? So the Ramo in Yeridei gives a very weak defense of the practice. He says that they have a right to assume that it's mutam itam svek sveka. Maybe you don't know whether the bread or the cake or the cookies that you're getting, the flour that they use to bake it, you don't know how fresh it is. In America, there were quite a few years that the new tvua they would send to Europe. They would export it. And they were selling Americans the old tvua. They wouldn't sell Americans the new tvua. It was just harvested. They would sell us the old tvua. They keep on changing. So the Ramor writes, it's a svek svek. You don't know, maybe the tvua is from last year. And even if it's from this year, maybe it took root before Pesach. If it took root before Pesach, then it's called Yoshan. When it comes, it takes 3 days till the tvua takes root. so even if it's new tvua, maybe it took root before Pesach. That's what all the Achranim ask on the Ramor. That's not a valid svek sveka. That's Shem Echad. Did it grow last year, or is it from this year's crop, and it took root before Pesach? That's the same thing. Is a Chodesh, is a Yoshan? So what's the svek sveka? Svek sveka has to be Mishnei Shemus. That's what Tosfos writes in Ksubas Daftes. It's all Shem Echad, so that's not a valid svek sveka. If you would know what the percentages are, if you would know that all the tour that they're selling is 50% of it is from last year, from previous years, and 50% is from this year, and then you would know that from this year 50% was planted, took root before Pesach, and 50% took root after. If you would know that what the percentages are, then it would be 75% lahakil. Then it would be a rov. But you don't know what the percentages are. When we make a sex fake, we don't know what percentages are. On the blackboard, when we write A or B, and even if it's B, it's C or D. So it's the rove of the logical possibilities. But it's not a raiva metzias. You don't know what the, if you know what the percentages are, then you figure out based on a raiva. What is the likelihood? It's the probability. The probability is simple mathematics. But if you don't know what the probabilities are, just logical possibilities on the blackboard, then it has to be Mishnei Shemes. If it's Mishnei Mechad, it's no good. So that's what they ask on the Ramah. They give terutzim, but it's a shver. The kasha is better than the terutzim. Then there's another question. Chodosh is considered a dovish yesh lamatirin. Dovish yesh matirin means, let's say, a beitzah shenolda b'shabbos, a beitzah shenolda b'yontim. So the first Mishnah, beitzah quotes that the machleket b'shamah b'sil. We pass them like b'silul is machmer. Usually b'shamah is machmer. Here b'silul is machmer. But you're not allowed to eat it. So what if you have a beitzah, have a whole bunch of eggs? A whole bunch of eggs. You know that five of the eggs, the hens laid the eggs before Yontem. You just didn't take them out. You didn't take, it's not a smart idea because the hens are going to jump on, they're going to crack the eggs. So usually you take out the eggs right away. So I knew before Yontem there were five eggs there, and now in the middle of Yontem I see there are six eggs. Now obviously one of the hens laid an egg on Yontov, so you have a tarubis. It's a tarubis of Yavish B'Yavish. Should have been bottled by Rav, chad betray. You shouldn't even eat shishim over here. So the Gemara says in the beginning of Beitzah that because Muktzah, Beitzah Shanol the Yontov, if you wait till after Havdalah, there's no problem. You won't have to rely on bittul b'Rav, so you're not allowed to use bittul b'Rav. That's like Eimah Vatanisa Lechatchila. Just like you're not allowed to mix in treifus into kosher, even though you know you're going to have shishim. So here, your decision to eat the eggs, who tells you to eat the eggs on Shabbos and Yom Tov? Wait till after Havdalah, you can eat all the eggs. So your decision to eat the egg means, I'm deciding I want to rely on bittul b'rav. So that's like a violation. You shouldn't decide like that. If you don't want to eat any eggs on Shabbos and Yom Tov, you're not going to have to rely on the bittul b'rav. It's your decision that's making you rely on bittul b'rav. That's a violation of Eimah Vatanisa L'Chatchila. So the Gemara says that the same is true regarding Chodesh, that if you wait till Chol HaMoed Pesach, wait till the second day Chol HaMoed Pesach, so all the Chodesh in the world will be mutter. So why should you eat Chodesh before? It's a Dovish Yesh L'Matir. So the Gemara says Chodesh is a Dovish Yesh L'Matir, and that's why there's no din of bittul. So there's a question in the Rishonim, what about Sfek? Do you have a right to be Mekal based on a Sfek? So the Ramah assumes that yes, that you can. And he thinks that this is a valid Sfek, and maybe this is Tvua from years ago, from last year. And even if it's fresh Tvua, maybe it took root before Pesach. He considers that, so it's a difficult Sfek works on Dovish Yesh Matirin. I think that is the accepted opinion, that it is correct. But that's called the Shem Echad, so that's why we really don't hold from that Sfek. So what did the Jewish people rely on for so many centuries? Everybody was eating Chodesh B'chutz La'aretz. So the Magen Avraham in Hilchus Pesach quotes in the Sefer HaTrumah. Sefer HaTrumah is Rabbeinu Baruch, one of the Talmidim of Rabbeinu Tam, of Baal HaTesis. Tesis quotes Sefer HaTrumah every so on. Sefer HaTrumah is like a kid in Shulchan Aruch. He has one sif after that dinim, a collection of dinim. And every so often he puts in a din that's startling, that we're not used to, never heard of it. So he writes his original dinim. Most of the dinim are like the kitzah. Everybody knows the dinim. So most of the Sefer HaTrumah is not too important. And every so often he writes his unique opinion. So the Sefer HaTrumah over here writes an original opinion that we paskin Chodesh B'chutz La'aretz is only the Rabbanon, not like Rabbi Yosef Karo. And once you assume it's on, so it's the Rabbanon. So still it's a Nisa the Rabbanon. So the Gehenim is not as hot. You're burning Gehenim when you do an Avera. So an Avera the Rabbanon, the Gehenim is not so hot. So it's still an Avera though. So the answer is no. Midrabbanan, they instituted an obligation to be mafresh chumas and maisus and chutz lorets, but only barotzes hasmuchas leretz Yisrael, only in the countries that border upon Eretz Yisrael, because you may go to Syria, Lebanon, Jordan, Egypt, barotzes hasmuchas leretz Yisrael. You're going to buy food without being mafresh chumas and maisus. You thought that it was planted and it grew over there. No, it came from across the border. It really grew in Eretz Yisrael and its tevel, and they exported it over there. So in days of the Gemara, they wouldn't fly to America. Today, they fly flowers to America in the middle of Shemitah, and they fly food to America. They fly all over the world. Days of the Tanoim, they were only goes and Ranarotzis al Smuchas. So that's what the Sefer HaTrumah writes, that if that we assume la halacha that Chodesh B'chutz La'aretz is only the Rabbanon, And he only instituted the Yisrael Chodesh by Ratzach HaSmuchas L'Eretz Yisrael. So if you live in France or Germany, or you live in America, live in a different continent, so far away from Eretz Yisrael, they never introduced the Yisrael Chodesh yet. The question is, why should you assume like that? Why should you pasken that Chodesh B'chutz L'Eretz Rabbanan? The major opinion in the Tanoim and most of the Rishonim is that Chodesh B'chutz L'Eretz is Daraisa. So the Mishkan is Yankif. Also wrote a tshuva to defend the practice. Mishnah Yankov was a rabbi in Karlina, Rabbi Yankala Karlina. He was one of the early students of Rabbi Chaim Volozhin and Volozhin Yeshiva. He was from the Mesnagdim, from Volozhin. He would have fights with the Stalin and Hasidim. He was the rabbi in Karlina. Karlina and Stalin are twin cities. You walk 5 minutes, you're in the other city, like Bergenfield and Teaneck. They just flow into each other. So Kalina Stone is also like that. So he has a few tshuvas where he attacks the practices that the Hasidim have. So this tshuva, he defends the practice of all the Jews in Chutzlah, all the Ashkenazim, that they're not careful about Chodesh. So he says he has a Mishnah that indicates that we should paskin like that. The Chodesh b'Chutzlah is only the Rabbanan. Why? Because the Mishnah has a strange thing. When you bring a mincha to the Beis Hamikdash, to the mincha's flower, where did the flower have to grow? In Russia, United States, Eretz Yisrael, where does that have to go? So it says, wherever. There is no restriction. The flower can be from anywhere. There are certain parts of Eretz Yisrael where the flower is going to be mufchor. Behemoth. When you bring goats as a carb, you bring cows as a carb. So there are certain countries where the cows are healthier than others, and where the goats are healthier than others. So you should always bring mena mufchor. So there are certain countries where the flour is better than others, so bring from those countries. But strictly speaking, you can bring from anywhere in the world, except for Mincha Sarim has to have grown in Eretz Yisrael. What kind of din is that? The Gemara never says what the Pasuk is. How do you know that the Mincha Sarim or the flour has to grow in Eretz Yisrael? So Rabbi Yankel Kalina writes in his Tshuvas in the Mishkan is Yankel, it's obvious why. Because the whole purpose of bringing the Mincha Sarim on the first day Chol Hamoed Pesach is to be matir the Yisrael Chodesh. So you have to take something that is Chodesh, and makrevit, and by me makrevit, it's mata the Yisrael Chodesh. The Gemara says in the beginning of Menachos on Daf Hey that usually there's a din based on the pasuk in the Novi Yecheskel that if whenever your makrev korban is in the Beis Hamikdash, it has to be kosher food. If it's not kosher, let's say you want to bring a korban to the Beis Hamikdash, the animal is a treifa. Let's say it's an oila. If it's a chatos or an oshim shlamim, someone has to eat it. So if it's a treifa, you can't eat it. But if it's an oiler, you're going to burn the whole thing anyway. So what's so bad if the thing is a treifa? You can shecht the treifa. You shecht it in your makrev and on the mech. The mezbech is not Jewish. So why can't you be makrev and a treifa? Moses says, no, because the pasuk says you have to bring yayin. The nesachim has to be mimashke Yisrael. He has mashke wine that is mutter for a Jew to drink. If the wine is orla, a kloya kerem wine, they're just like Jews are not allowed to drink and say not allowed to pour it on the Mizbech either. So if the animal is a treifa, it's a violation of Mamashke Yisrael. Now they call in Yiddish, they call schnapps that was manufactured in Arizona, they call it Mashke Yisrael. Mashke in Yiddish means schnapps. But in Tanakh it just means any beverage that people drink. So now they call schnapps that was processed in Arizona, it's called Mashke Yisrael. Mashke Yisrael is a pasuk. Pasuk in Yecheskel, that you're only allowed to be makriv on the Mizbech food that's kosher. So the Gemara says the one exception to the rule is Minchas Ha'omer. It has to be Chodosh. You have to take Tvur that's Chodosh. When you be makrevit on the Mizbech, you take a komet from it, you burn it on the Mizbech, and the rest is going to be eaten by the Kohanim. So you have to be makrev Tvur that is Chodosh. You can't take Tvur from last year. That's already out of the problem. You have to take Tvur that is Chodosh and makrev it. So Rabbi Yankel Kalina writes, of course he can bring from Chutz Lortz. The Chodesh B'chutz Lortz is only the Rabbanon. So he says it's a Stam Mishnah. The halacha is like that minority opinion in the Tanoim. The Chodesh B'chutz Lortz is only the Rabbanon, and that's why you can only bring Mincha Sarimah if it grew in Eretz Yisrael. So that's what the Magen Avraham gives this in Hilchos Pesach, when the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Dinim that you have to wait to eat the Chodesh till the whole Yom Tezayin Nisan is over. Till the end of the day, that's Takanas Abdechem. Takanas Abdechem Zaki, Yom Han of Kula Osir, Doris Rihiskin, he popularized the din. So he says, how come we who live in Chosos be all eat Chodesh? So he says, we all rely on this Sefer HaTshumah. Dorach HaShulchan also, he wakes up in the end of Yeridaya, when they have the dinim of Chodesh, there's a whole simile of Eish Tzarek Dalet, all about Chodesh. So he says, how come all the Ashkenazim violate Chodesh? Everybody eats Chodesh. So he says, oh, he discovered the Sefer HaTrumah. He rediscovered America. The Magen Avraham quotes the Sefer HaTrumah. He rediscovered America. He wakes up, oh, he discovered the Sefer HaTrumah, that in Chutz Lars is only the Rabbanah, and therefore it only applies to Arotzes of Smuchas Laretz Yisrael. Usually they used to rely on a different heter. So the Vilna Goyen held that that heter was utterly ridiculous. The Der HaGoyla was a great-grandfather of the Vilna Goyen. So if you ever study Shulchan Aruch, Der HaGoyla always gives you the Mar Mekaymus for the Dinim in the Shulchan Aruch. So he gives you a Mar Mekaymus for five lines. And then the Bir HaGra assumes that your Bir HaGra is assuming that you're reading the Der HaGoyla by his great-grandfather. And he's adding on. He gives you Mar Mekaymus for every phrase, not just for five lines. Where did this come from? That's Tosfos added that, and the Rambam added that, and the Rashba added that. So he's always assuming that you're reading the Der HaGoyla. A lot of times I'll write Shom, it means same Mar Mokim as the Der HaGoyla. Not that he wrote, I'll write the first Mar Mokim and the same in the Shom. Shom means what the Der HaGoyla said on the first line, that's the same Mokim for the second line. So here, the Der HaGoyla, his great grandfather, writes, usually he just gives Mar Mekaymus. He doesn't open his mouth. He doesn't say anything. Once in a long while, he writes something. So he writes over here, and we eat Chodesh today, we rely on the Bach, that since all the farms belong to non-Jews, so the din of Chodesh only applies if the farm is owned by a Jew. The farm is owned by a non-Jew, so we'll make them. So the Vilna Goyen attacks his great-grandfather. He says, Yofa Haysalo Hashtika. Would have been better he shouldn't have said anything because it's absolutely wrong. So the old point that is very surprising. That was his great-grandfather. And the whole Bir HaGra is an elaboration on the Bir HaGra. The whole Sefer, the whole commentary that's on the Goyen was written to be mashlim what it says in the Bir HaGra. So he's very upset. He proves beferish that if it belongs to a Goy, the din of Chodesh still applies. He quotes Tosfos has like that, the Yerushalmi like that. That heter is not really correct. Just last week, there was an issue, halacha lemaisa, in the OU, regarding Chodosh. There's some Israeli company wants to process some kind of chocolate for Pesach. So they want to get something from the grain, from the wheat germ or something, I don't know, as an ingredient for the chocolate that they want to make kosher to Pesach. So the grain was planted over 2 weeks, over 16 days or something like that. It takes to plant all the grain in Poland. It came from Poland. And they started planting about 2 weeks before Pesach. And the last day of planting was Erev Pesach. So whatever they planted, Erev Pesach did not have a chance to take root by the first day, Chol HaMoed Pesach. You got to have 3 days till it takes root. So all this stuff, all the tefuah that grew, I think this is barley. We're talking about barley. Okay, they're going to use some byproduct from the barley to mix into the kosher of Pesach, the chocolates for this coming year. So the all the grain that was harvested there in Poland, all the grain that was planted before 3 days before Pesach, already took root. So when it comes to the first day, Chol HaMoed Pesach, the end of the day, everything is already mutar. But the grain that they planted, mamish, on Erev Pesach, till the last day, they're going. It has nothing to do with Pesach. Happens to be that they were planting till Erev Pesach. So whatever grain they planted the last day, that's going to be Chodesh. You have to wait till next Pesach. The next Chol HaMoed Pesach, that it should be mutar. So this company who wants to make the chocolate, they ordered grain. They didn't realize that there's an issue. If they would have realized in advance, they could have told them, we want to buy grain that was planted a week before Pesach. They didn't realize when they planted it. So the company already sent a whole ton of grain to Germany. They're going to process it and make whatever ingredient they need in order to make this chocolate fluff for Pesach. Then, when they said they want the OU endorsement, so the OU started to check into it. So they found out that some of the grain was planted in Erev Pesach. So if they would have known in advance, if they would have notified the company in advance, the company would be able to, they know which silos have the tvuah, that's from which farms, they would have been able to know which is Chodesh. But they already sent out all the grain to different people. Now they don't keep a record of whom did they send the last stuff. So the din is that the bitl beroiv doesn't work on davar sheyesh matir. That's a chumer midrabbanan. And atar davar sheyesh matir is bitl beroiv like everything else. And midrabbanan bitl beroiv doesn't work. But azlina basiruba does work. If you have a beer of roiv, let's say you have the beitzah shenol the yontav, you're not sure whether the beitzah is not on erev yontav or not on yontav. So the Gemara beginning at beitzah says whenever you have a roiv, the roiv indicates one way or the other. The roiv indicates that it was not on erev yontav, let's say. So the Gemara says you do rely on azlin and basurubah, just bitl b'roiv, you know what I'm saying? So what's over here? Is this a tarubis? If you have a cereal, a breakfast cereal in front of you, after Pesach is over, let's say you have a breakfast cereal, and the roiv of it is yoshan, and the miyut is chadash, then the din is that every spoonful that you take, you're taking a mixture of chadash and yoshan, and the whole bowl you're going to eat, some is going to be chadash, some is going to be yoshan. Then the din is that chadash is not bottle roiv, because it's a dovish yesh matir. But over here, it's not a question of a taruvis. It either grew on the 15 farms. What they tell me that 10% of the tours from last year's tour, only 90% is from this year. It's mixed in together, and for the 90%, 1/16 of it was planted on Erev Pesach. One or two sixteenth didn't have hashrasha before the first day Chalamot Pesach. All the others did. So it's at 2/16 of 90%. So you still have the roiv is that everything, you should be able to go baser roiv. But the question is, there's a din of kavua, kol kavua ke machza machza da. So the question, what is kavua? A kavua is a case where you have a roiv, and the halacha says that it doesn't count as a roiv. So it's a, what's an example of kavua? So Mar has, let's say, there are 10 people in a row, 9 are Jewish and 1 is a non-Jew. So the din is you're not allowed to kill a non-Jew, but if you kill a non-Jew, you're not chaymis. A pasuk. Only chaymis if you kill the Jew. So I say, the 10 people are on the other side of the river, and I want to kill the first one in the row. I don't know which one is the non-Jew, which 9 people are the Jews, which one is the non-Jew. So I say, I'm going to kill the first guy. So they warn me, don't kill the first guy, he may turn out to be Jewish. I shoot, and then later on, it turns out that he is Jewish. I killed a Jewish person. But at the time that they warned me, it was at a Hasra's Vada, it was at a Hasra's Sofi. So the Gemara says, Kol Kavua, Kamachza Machza Domi. That's Kol Kavua. If I would walk across, if I would go closer, I'm standing over here. So nobody on this side of the river, we can't tell who's Jewish, who's a guy. If we walk closer, we'll be able to see. They have tzitzis, and the other guy, he has no pays, he's a guy. The other 9 are Jewish. So, you really have a roiv. The odds are 9-1 that he's going to shoot a Jew. He says he wants to kill the first one in the row. The odds are 9-1, but since they're all standing there, they're not walking, that's a din. It's a very strange din. Learned that from a pasuk. Very questionable. Is this a mathematical principle? Is there a mathematical logic for this? Or is this a gzeiras hakosef? Every time Rav Soloveitchik would learn, it's the very end of your day of chelek aleph. Every time he would learn kavua, he couldn't come up with a good definition of what's kavu, and he couldn't come up with a good explanation. I think Professor Nochum Rabinowitz, Malei Adumin, I think he has his doctorate in mathematics. I think that was his doctoral dissertation. He explained how kavu makes sense based on mathematical principles. I didn't read the doctorate. Even though I'm related to him, I didn't read his doctorate. Anyway, so there's the din of kavu. So that's kavu deraisa. Then there's a din kavu midrabbanan. Let's say there's a din medrabana balechaim chashivi veloy b'teili. Let's say you have 10 animals are karbonis, and then another animal gets mixed in, 10 kosher karbonis, then another animal gets mixed in, and the animal got mixed in is posel hakrava. So you have a taruvis of one posel animal got mixed in with 10 kosher animals. You don't know which is which, so that's not called kavua. Kavua has to be Weisa nika bimkomo, Taisa said. The issue is not nika bimkomo. You don't apply kol kavua. But midirabonim, there's a din balechaim chashivi veloy b'teili. So it's not bottle. So it's not bottled, so you shouldn't be makriv. One kohen should be makriv all 11, because for sure he's going to be violating an avera if he's makriv the, when he's makriv the one that's pasul akrav, he's doing an avera. So maybe 11 kohanim should be. Each one will go basar roiv. Each one will say, I'm shechting a carbon. The odds are 10 to 1 that this carbon is kosher. You go basar roiv, not bitl beroiv. Say, azlina basar ruba. So that's called kavua medarabon. Since it was a taruvis of balichayim, balichayim chashiv, v'loy b'teili medarabonon, it's not bottle. So every wise guy will say, so it's not bottle. So I'll take one out and I'll say, call the parish, meruva parish. So they wanted that people shouldn't take one out. You shouldn't take one out and say, call the parish. So they said, whenever there's a taruvis, a bottle manatar medarabonon, it's not bottle for some reason or another. Here it's not bottle. You have chaticha. Chaticha roilis kabed balechaim are not bottle, or dovish esh matirin is not bottle. Different things are not bottle. So whenever the thing is not bottle midrabanon, so we say we treat it like kavua midrabanon kemachza machza, and you can't even say azlina basaruba. So here we know for a fact that in Poland, 2/16 of 90% of all the tefuah is chodesh. We know for a fact that that year they planted up until Erev Pesach. Whatever they planted Erev Pesach the day before didn't have 3 days to take root. So we know that there's a mixture. A taruvus of yavish beavish, they don't have to be touching each other. Like over here, these are touching. This doesn't have to touch. One can be in Newfoundland, Canada, and one can be in South Africa, and one can be in Yerushalayim. It's a taruvus of yavish beavish. So here, they distributed the tefuah all over the world already. So some they sent to Germany for the purpose of manufacturing this Pesach product. Yeah, but before they sent it to Germany, there was a taruvis. Some of the stuff was chodosh and some of the stuff was yashan. So that's a question. At the time that there was a taruvis, was it really a taruvis? That's a question. Was it really a taruvis? If you would have asked the company before they sent it out, after the farmers distribute everything, then they don't keep records what they sent to whom. But Kozman is still in the silos, they do keep records. It's probably whenever was a taruvis. If you would have gone to them, they kept records which farms planted mamsh till Erev Pesach, and they kept records which silo has from which farms. But after they send it out, then they don't keep records which tefuah they sent to Germany, which tefuah they sent to America, which they sent to France, and which they sent to England, and so on. They don't keep records. So it could be that there never was a taruvis. But the shaila, even if one should assume at one point there was a taruvis, but then once they sent it out already to Germany, maybe now you have a right to say, call the parish meruba parish. Maybe now you have a right to say that you shouldn't take it on your own. That's the din kavua de rabbanon. But if they sent it out already, so then maybe you should have the right to say called the parish meruba parish. So that's a machlokes. The Pischei Tshuva has a commentary on the bottom of the page in Yeridaya. So he quotes that the Nadi Yehuda has a sefer on Beitza that's called the Tzlach Tzion Nefesh Chaim. So the Tzlach has usually pilpul, and every so often he has something. He makes an assumption halacha lemaisa. So they quote, Nadi Biuda was a big Pesach, so they quote that Tzlach and Beitza writes in two places, even if it started off as a taruvis, and should really be called Kavua Kamachza Machza, it should be a Kavua Derabanan. But later on, if it's going to be parish, the company sent this to Germany, so they made it parish. So then you have a right to say, Azlina Basaruba. And other Achrayim disagree. They say, no, that's all included in the Kavua Derabanan. So that was a question. So this product was being prepared in Germany to sell to Eretz Yisrael. If they were going to sell it anywhere else in the world, there wouldn't be any problem. The Jews all over the world eat chodesh. But Eretz Yisrael, the Rabbanut, doesn't allow anything to be imported with a hechsher if it's chodesh b'chutz l'aretz. They don't allow it. What do they need it for? They have enough food in Eretz Yisrael. So if you want to send something to Eretz Yisrael with a hechsher, they insist it should be yoshan. So that was the question. Does the OU have a right to label this as yoshan? Do they have a right to rely on the Nadi Yehuda? So if you're dealing with the real chodesh deraisa, so it should really depend. If you're dealing with real chodesh deraisa, if you're passing like the Mechaber, that Chodesh B'chutz L'Arz is really Daraisa, then it's very questionable whether you have a right to rely on this. If Chodesh B'chutz L'Arz is only the Rabbanon, then Mistam you can rely on the Tzlach, on the Kuban. But it could well be, but they didn't ascertain all the facts. It could well be that it was never a Taruvus. It could be that they kept records. I think that's what they think. They kept records. If you would have asked them before they sent it out to Germany, from Poland to Germany, if you would have asked them, they would be able to tell you which sila has the tour from which farm, and which is Chodesh, which is not. So it means there never was a Taruvus. It never was a Taruvus when they sent it out to Germany. That was called the parish. Anyway, everything is halacha l'maisa. That is the story with Chodesh Bizman. Okay.
We owe you a hold of the no debut of the Tzlach. Would they have found the Tzlach?
The Shadow never came up before.
But now?
Now it's mutter anyway. Now it's mutter anyway because they think there really never was a Taruvus. Until they sent it out, they kept records which silo has from which farm. And you could have ascertained. And they know which farm planted the last 2 days before Pesach. So there probably never was a Taruvus and never was Kavua Derva. Never was a Kavua. So in this case, for sure, you say Azlina Basur. What's for lunch today? Something decent? Anybody know the inside story? Okay, so every once I'm supposed to give a shiur in Chayshe Mishpat. Maybe today we'll give the shiur here about 2:30. What did I say? 1:30.
1:30.
1:30 till 2. Yeah. 2 o'clock is Mincha.
Yeah, there's a trip today. Yeah.
Okay.
Once.